All right, and everybody, welcome to another Capes and Scales interview. With me today, I have Daniel Brody, who is the writer of Morgan's Organs. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure, as always. It's always a pleasure to get some hot upstart talent on the show, talk about the indie comics world. I love it. So tell me a little bit about your inspiration, just getting into comics in general. What's your mindset? What's the good, the bad, the ugly? Give us a little peek behind the curtain here.
For sure. So for me, Morgan's Organs, it actually started off as a television show idea. And so in developing the concept, I really focused on it in that sort of sense, both in the length of the stories and as well as kind of the flow of the stories. So when I finally decided to pivot into comic books, that was definitely completely new terrain for me. I've never tried to write a comic book. I didn't know a thing about what goes into writing a comic book. I kind of just taught myself how to do it. You know, I grew up reading comic books. You know, I kind of, as I moved into high school, university, I kind of stopped reading them. But, you know, writing Morgan's Organs has really brought me back into the interest of comics, especially indie comics. You know, I try to read lots of self-published series as well as stuff from Image. I haven't really ever gotten right back into superhero comics, but, you know, I love the indie stuff.
It's such a good time to be an indie comic creator. Now, before we dive away from it, I gotta ask you, you were pitching it for a TV, you were hoping for a TV, was it going to be animated? Because if this was live action, it'd be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, that's I was actually thinking animated, but you could definitely go more the Osmosis Jones route, have Bill Murray, you know, running around.
That would be amazing. But
yeah, definitely more the animation side, fully.
I assume that's what you meant, but I just imagine people in like bad on purpose kind of costumes, and they're just fully owning it. It would be so good. So
if I had to settle, I probably would.
Oh yeah, I always joke with people. I was like, I would sell out for surprisingly little. So what going forward now? Because we haven't really talked a bunch about the premise of this story. So why don't you give us kind of like the bare bones pitch of this story for the audience.
Absolutely. So the very simplest way that I put it when I tell people at conventions, it's Pixar's Inside Out, but the adult version. So instead of emotions that are running the body, you got these organ critters, but they don't really act in the best interest of the human they live inside. So it usually ends up with the guy, Morgan, getting embarrassed or hurt or, you know, something happening to him. So it really is, you know, I try to tell really truthful stories about human nature, but from a, you know, such a different angle, because most of the story takes place from within a body.
Yeah, and I would say, because I read issue one. Issue one focuses more on the brain, which was what, Bran, I believe? And and Pepe the penis. And they have a spirited debate, I'd say. Where, you know, as silly as it is, it's like, yeah, man, this kid just needs some release. Is he allowed to have sex now? Is a silly concept, but it's so much fun. And the interactions of all the different organs, I love how it's kind of like they're just hanging out inside the person. It's like the organs are just kind of running around the body. It's so good. It's so, I don't know. It's unique and great and good for you, man. I really enjoyed that. I was laughing out loud. My son thought something was wrong with me, and I mean, maybe, but certain gags just absolutely got me. But like,
well,
I said,
that's good to hear.
Yeah, but issue one focuses on Pepe and Bran, but then the next issue focuses more on the stomach, I believe, and it's a totally different feel, but it's still all these organs kind of like as a group, as like a sorority almost. It's like they all have to work together because ultimately it's their body that they're in. I loved it.
Yeah, and yeah, for me, you know, that ensemble sort of idea was like really important. And like, if you think about organs, like they can't really go anywhere. So like the brain would have to stay up there. So that's why like it was really important in coming up with the concept to try to define like how the rules work. So I came up with the idea that they're not actually the organs of the body, but they're these critters, these guys that each operate a specific room. So it really opens up that comedic and story potential where, you know, they can all do stuff together, and maybe one day the stomach takes over the brain and you see how that affects the human they live inside. So yeah, like it really ex- expands the conflicts that are possible.
And I loved that, like you have a representative of, like, the anus, of the small intestines, of and it's not done for toilet humor's sake. It's just how would they interact with each other? I would say my favorite character would have to be the appendix. Is that based on anyone you know? It's just like he has all this wisdom and everybody's just like, shut the hell up.
No, Andy is definitely one of the treasures of the series. That was a character that you know, it was hard to define because, you know, at face level, like, you think appendix, you think useless. It was easy to have thought to just, you know, make him this sad, nothing character. You know, through, again, that writer's sort of network and pitching back and forth ideas, I started to come up with this idea that maybe, you know, he's this sort of hyper-intelligent creature who spends all of his days just reading, gathering all the knowledge of the world. But just because of how useless he is in the body, nobody ever listens to him. But he'll never get his spirit down. He'll always be the same Andy.
So good. He's so great. Now, the third volume, why don't you tell us a little bit about the third volume and what characters you plan on focusing on in that one?
Yeah, for sure. So book three is basically, it takes place on Morgan's birthday. So he and his friends are getting pretty drunk. And meanwhile, the Oregons also decide to throw a bit of a birthday bash because it's his birthday. That means it's their birthday too. So the next morning, everyone wakes up and it's kind of like the hangover sort of scene plays out. For Morgan, he wakes up, he has a black eye, he has no idea what happened to him. For the Oregons, they wake up and there's penises drawn all over the walls. So it's basically a kind of a whodunit story, as, you know, a sort of detective comes about in the body and tries to put together the clues. But what makes it really fun is it's actually told in a really different narrative format. So have you seen the movie Memento?
Yes, I love that movie.
Yeah, so it's basically told in that sort of format where it's two different stories that are going back and forth with each other. So how it goes is you got the night before story playing out and then you have the morning after story playing out. And it just patterns back and forth one to the other. And it's only at the very end of the story, when the night before becomes the morning after, that everything ties together. So it's going to be really interesting to read, you know, as the reader, to see if it makes sense, that jumping back and forth. But it's also really fun on my end to try to put together the pieces and make sure it still flows. And we got to play with, you know, the color style. Tyler, our colorist, did a really great job defining these two different color styles throughout the book. So hopefully it ends up being, you know, a story that makes sense.
I'm sure it will. I'm very impressed by your collective work, both you and Robert, right? Robert Jennings.
Yeah. Rob's been with me since day one. He's more than half of the reason why Morgan's Organs is so great. His visual style that he's brought to the series is perfect for it. And every single book, he wows me even more with the sort of details that he puts into the panels. And I think that's what really also makes the series so much fun, is that there's a story going on the page, but if you really focus, there's so much extra stuff in each panel that you can just appreciate.
I loved all the little things that I found in the panels. I know in the volumes I read, there was Mario wrestling Sonic in a wrestling ring. I popped real good for that. I'm a big wrestling guy. Are you a big wrestling guy? Are you a big gamer guy? Like, what would you say is your nerd thing?
I mean, I feel like I'm kind of like middle ground in terms of my nerdism. Like, I would say the nerdiest thing about me is just that I kind of write a comic book. It honestly, it's Rob. Like, I think Rob is just the ultimate 80s pop culture geek. He knows everything and anything about comics, television, video games. And, like, it's a lot of him putting these extra little details into every panel. Like, one of my favorite things is in book one, when we go to Pepe's room and he's playing on his sex box, there's a couple video games that are on top of that console. And if you search them, they're actually porn-related video games from the 80s. And I had no idea about it. It's just, like, these crazy little details that Rob is aware of.
So he's worth his weight in gold.
Absolutely. I can only take credit for the story and the dialogue and the characters, the art and the details. I really leave it to Rob to, you know, go as crazy as he wants to.
I think a lot more creative teams need to do things like that. You know, as long as you guys are, you know, both happy with what you're doing, because I think that free flow, the art can help make the story better. I mean, it could certainly drag it down as well. But I think kind of seeing somebody else's interpretation of your ideas, that's got to feel really good. It's got to be rewarding. Like, wow, that's that thing that I saw in my head. And it got almost like maybe it got promoted a little bit. Maybe it's like, wow, this guy shares my vision. That's got to feel great, right?
Yeah, it really is because, you know, when I was writing Morgan's Organs for 3+ years, I had very, very vague, fuzzy images in my mind of what do these characters look like? What does the world look like? But as I have no artistic talent, it was really difficult to figure out what I really wanted. So when I paired up with Rob and he started off, he just drew the Brain character for me. And right when I saw that, I knew that he was the exact person that I needed for this series. And yeah, it's great that I don't have to put so much effort into the descriptions, and he just gets it. He gets the personalities of the characters, because I would say, even though I came up with the concept, like, it's very much an equal partnership in terms of the development of the world.
And I can appreciate that. I did see, you know, you gave him proper credit in your copyrights and whatnot. You know, you guys both worked together to make this amazing thing. Now, do you plan to release this in the future in a trade format?
I am still debating that. I think for me, the physical things that I put out there are really important. That's why I don't do variant covers. I do something called collector's book sleeves. So you'll always get that same base book, but you'll get a really cool limited edition collector's book wrap that goes around it. That's one of the items we do in our Kickstarters. So I'm debating whether I want to go the paperback route because, you know, those floppies are the first things that my first fans picked up from me, and I don't want to, you know, kind of encourage that they have to get a different thing. So I'm still playing with that idea. If I do a trade, it would probably be for my fourth book. But yeah, still thinking ideas. Maybe I'll just do like more of a book box that all four can fit into.
Okay.
Yeah, still thinking about it.
I love asking about trades to creators. Almost every interview I do, I'll bring it up. Because the world we live in now, where it's like issue sales are so important through Diamond and everybody else, and what dictates what gets a trade. Like, if your issue sales are soft, you might not get a trade, but the trade sales might be amazing. It's unique. I feel like a lot of readers do like trades. I see a trend of people, and myself, I do this as well, where you buy a lot of issue ones, check it out, support the creators, and then wait for the trade. And I think part of that is collecting new issues. There's not as much value often in new issues from a collecting standpoint. So I think a lot of people are like, I want to be able to say, I love Morgan's Organs. I love this book. It's hilarious. I don't want to feel like there's a dollar amount attached to it. I just want to be like, here, take this trade, read it, and you know, share it with your buddies, you know, your roommate, whoever, and just, you know, share this experience like you would just throwing a DVD at a guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those are good points. And I think for me that, like, the one important thing for my stories is I do ensure that they're long for comics. Each one's 40 pages. Borderline graphic novel, not, you know, the standard floppy. So if I were to make it a trade, it would definitely be a nice hefty 160 page plus book. But at the same time, I think that floppy, because it has such from what I hear, tons of rereadability value. I have people who say they picked it up, like, you know, they picked it up several times since they first bought it. I think that really helps, you know, bring value back to that single story.
Right, I agree. I think readers really love trades, and I understand the you know, the pluses and the negatives to both sides of this story. And I feel like a lot of creators feel the same way. They're just not sure. It's very rare for somebody to have this hit book and this hit trade. It happens far less than you'd imagine. It's like, oh, this does so good in issues, but then, like, the trade sits there, or vice versa. Because I may not have mentioned to you, I work in a store. I see it all day long. Definitely, and I'm in a college town. College kids love the trade. So,
oh, yeah.
Maybe that's a thing to consider, but I like, you're in a unique position, and I think this is very good for you because they are larger issues. I was going to bring that up, that they're like roughly 40 page issues. They benefit where, like, maybe they don't need to, they feel like mini trades. They feel like these good kind of good stories to throw. And my God, your concept is great for the dormitory. So
thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I think between the long books and the fact that it's self-contained stories, the floppy itself might hold its own weight, but definitely thinking about future options. But that's definitely a future thought, because right now my mind is going, what's my fourth book going to be?
Right. Do you have plans Now, I know you just said, what is my fourth book going to be? But do you have, like, long-term, like, loose skeletal plans, you know? Like, are you going to follow this kid as he grows up, as he, maybe he grows up, maybe he has a wife and kids, maybe now you're interacting with their body? The one thing you did in the, I believe it's the, was it the second issue? No, it was the, I think it was the first issue, where he was interacting with a female classmate, and then you get to see her version of the organs. The idea of having these almost like cities of organs is so appealing to me. I laughed so hard at the vagina character. I was dying. I didn't see it coming at all, and I absolutely loved it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that was definitely one of those really exciting moments, because, you know, you've gotten this appealing story. You're saying, okay, you know, we can follow this guy Morgan, but then you get hit by that. There's such a bigger world out there. There's so much more potential, and that entire potential is there's a female side to the story. There's another person that story needs to be told. I personally don't think I'm the one to write the female side, but it's something that I wanted to hint at to show that potential. And that's part of, you know, kind of my thought process and what I do. I have big dreams for the series. I want to get picked up by a publisher. I still want to become a TV show. So I throw in these like little tidbits to kind of like show that potential. So in book one, it was about showing that, you know, other people could have Morgan's condition. In book two, we end off with seeing young Morgan. So the reason I did that one is I actually want to, you know, hopefully one day do a kid's version of Morgan's organs, where it's the exact same characters. You still have a penis, still have a butt, but it's actually intended to be educational. So, you know, it is a bit of a, you know, lofty goal, because, you know, it take a lot of people and educators and government to convince that, you know, we should be talking about these things with kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is something that I think could work really well eventually.
Absolutely. I love that idea. I think teaching our children what anatomy is and the correct terms, and, you know, this is the correct way to teach them the body. You know, it's not like, here's this terrible picture I got to show you. You know, it's like, this is what it is. This is how it goes. And your stories are they're polite while talking about these silly, you know, I mean, you have an anus as a character, and it's never once was I like, oh God, the fart joke. Like, never did I feel that way. And I think that's super important. If you took the book, your book almost is like slice of life in a way. It's the story of these characters that are inside of a character. It's great. One of my favorite books that's out on the shelves now is from Boom is Giant Days. And I got a Giant Days kind of feel from this book, where it's like, we're focusing, like, Giant Days focuses on these three girls as they go start freshmen in college, goes through their senior year. I'm feeling like this is like this key moment in this guy's life, young adult's life, and then we're following these organs and, you know, the scenario of the organs. What made them feel this way? What made them think this way? Who's in charge? How do they collaborate with each other? I thought it was a lot of fun. I really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and on that point, like, it's not just about teaching about anatomy. It's also like these characters are instilled with like human traits and values, and we can you can see what does teamwork look like. You know, what does it mean to be too prideful? And there's actually lessons in the books, hopefully even now and in these feature shorter children's stories.
Do you have plans to do other stories, other non-Morgan's Organ stories while you're working on this? Are you gonna break off and do other things, or are you going to just solely focus on Morgan?
Do you mean like within the Morgan's Organs world?
I mean, that would be great if there's other things within the world, but whether it's in the world or whether it's a completely new thing.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do have, like, one other solid idea floating in my head, but, you know, I think for me, like, staying with Morgan's Organs is I think it's the best move for me, just because it's what I feel so confident in, and I don't want to fray, you know, my endeavors or my sort of focus, because I think this one has the most potential for future. So yeah, so I'm really just focused on continuing the series, and the Kickstarters are really important for that, because it really allows me financially to support my artist team, to support production, invest in booths, and all of that together helps grow the audience, which, again, it's just full circle. More books, more audience, and hopefully eventually we reach a critical peak that, you know, someone, the right person somewhere in the world finds us and wants to make it happen.
Now, you are in Toronto, correct?
Yeah, Toronto.
How do you feel the Comic-Con scene is up in Canada? I'm up by New York area. There's a lot of cons, a lot of different things going on. How do you feel like it's represented in Canada?
Yeah, so Toronto basically just has two big conventions every year. The biggest one is Fan Expo. It brings in over, I think, 130,000 people over 4 days. And then we have a smaller one in March that brings in about 30 to 40,000. So there's definitely, like, huge interest in comics up here. There's tons of great local shops, and they all are very great with indie creators. I have one shop that's, you know, a few blocks away from me that always allows me to do events and has my book on the shelf. I think the big thing is it's probably tough to get certain talent to come up to Canada. You know, from what I've seen on, like, the celebrity guest side, like, sometimes it's really great, but, like, it's not, I wouldn't say it's consistently great. So, I think we do have our challenges being, you know, not the U.S. In getting some of that celebrity interest. But I do the conventions myself, and it's always a great way to grow the audience.
That's good to hear. Now, would you say the Canadian conventions tend to be, I know you're talking about the celebrities and whatnot, if they have a harder time getting celebrities or, you know, a huge amount of these celebrities, is it still kind of like your old style con where it's a lot of guys with books in a room? Because Comic Cons have evolved, and it's good and bad in many ways for the comic industry. What is your opinion kind of on the way cons are being run in Canada?
Yeah, so it is a great facility, actually, that the events at. It's a massive convention center. I mean, I don't think it compares to the one in New York, but in Canadian terms, being 10% the size of the U.S., it's definitely a decent size hall. I'm lucky enough that at the March Toronto Comic Con, I've been getting a free booth the past 2 years. They've actually been recognizing me as a pro guest, so it's really fantastic. I'm sitting with guys who have drawn for Marvel, DC, Image, and I'm just this local creator who has his own book. So yeah, like the shows are very well run. It's there's so much unique local and sometimes international and definitely Canadian talents. And yeah, it's I definitely recommend if you have the chance, come up to Toronto, go to the convention, and get a feel for the city.
Oh my God, there's nothing I want more. My wife will yell at me a lot for being gone so many days, but there's nothing I want more than to go up towards Toronto and Canada and check out some of the stuff going on up there. And there's a lot of great Canadian talent in comics right now. Just off of the top of my head, you know, Jim Zub's doing great stuff.
Yeah.
Zdarsky, I can't believe how he does serious stuff when he started off doing more silly kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a great time to be Canadian, I say.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I see these guys, like, Jim, I've talked to, I haven't talked to Zdarsky, but, like, I see these guys around, and it's, like, it's just kind of cool to, like, be on that side of the field. And, you know, while they probably don't know who I am, like, definitely feel like I'm starting to get more and more recognition from, you know, professionals.
And that's perfect, and that's what I like to hear. Is there anything else you want to cover? Is there anything you want to plug? Any...
Check out the Kickstarter. We're going on for another 8 days. You can get PDFs, you can get books, physical books. We even got Pepe figurines,
oh my
plush
God.
Toys.
Great.
So yeah, definitely check out the campaign and take a look at the fun rewards that we have.
Now, you've done two Kickstarters prior to this?
Yeah, I've done two Kickstarters.
Now, do you find huge success with the Kickstarter? Do you enjoy, because it's kind of like the thing people don't think about is, okay, we're funded. Now it's like a nightmare. Like, now we got to get X, Y, and Z, like we promised, done. And Kickstarter is fantastic, and other crowdfunding platforms, but I know Kickstarter specifically is really good because it has a huge international market. A lot of people want indie badly, and I know a lot of different foreign countries do as well. How does that affect you as a creator? Do you ship everywhere in the world? Do you limit where you can ship? What are your feelings? I mean, the PDF versions definitely can go anywhere.
Yeah, PDFs are, yeah, obviously. So, yeah, the PDFs are great for, you know, because obviously international shipping is expensive, so there is a bit of a barrier if someone wants to support. But I do international shipping. You know, I have the benefit, I work in production, so I kind of have a grasp of, you know, logistics and, you know, the practicality of cost and all that. So I've never really been shy to do international. There is some great services in Canada that help with costs. But I actually drive over the border into Buffalo to ship all my books to the U.S. backers, which is how I'm able to get such good shipping costs for any U.S. backers.
That's a brilliant idea. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about making it valuable for the backers. I don't want someone to have a reason to say no. So I'll do what I can to make people want to say yes.
Absolutely, and I love that so many people do say yes, because everybody's got, you know, only so much disposable income, so many dollars that they can throw around. So it definitely feels good for them to say, you know what, I believe in what you're doing enough to throw you, you know, $20, $30, $40, whatever the amount might be. That's got to feel great. That's got to feel so good as a creator.
Yeah, it really is. Like, sometimes when you get those huge pledges, you're just, like, completely bewildered that, like, someone believes in you that much to support you at that level. You know, putting together these reward levels, you know, it sounds fun and dandy, like, oh, you get all this stuff, but it's still a big number, and it's great that people are actually interested. And so for me, going off that point, like, I really try to make really cool, unique rewards at the higher values, especially because it's a digitally produced comic. It's tough to do, you know, original art. I try to think of other ways to build that value. So things like, you can be a background character in the book. We'll draw you in the style of Morgan's Organs with one of the organs in your hand. I've found a company that does custom one-off plush toys. So yeah, definitely looking for things that are different from other rewards from Kickstarters.
That's so great. I have an enlarged spleen. I wonder what that would look like.
if you can think of it, we can make it.
Sure. Now, you guys said you were doing figurines of Pepe. What made you pick him over all the other organs? Is he kind of like everyone's favorite?
Yeah, I would definitely say Pepe is just the fan favorite. Going to these conventions, you meet so many other great vendors, not just artists, but, you know, well, they're all artists, but people who don't just make comic books. So I made some really cool connections with some guys who actually do 3D printing. They do life-size props. So I just pitched my idea, like, what would it cost for you guys to design a Pepe figurine and print it, and the cost was reasonable. So I had a few limited edition figurines made.
That's so good. I love it. When is the Operation Style board game going to come out?
That's definitely a great idea.
You can have it. It's yours.
Actually, for my second book, it starts off with this sort of card game that Morgan's playing with his friends. And so at the time, I actually wanted to create this card game and release it along with the Kickstarter, but it started to get a bit too complicated. But it was like, I hope, like a fun drinking game then. Well, I guess maybe not that fun if it leads to Morgan having to swallow a gambling die, but it fit in well with the idea of the Kickstarter.
I was going to ask you if that was like a specific game or if it was just like a poker, but like the cards looked really, really sweet. Maybe you could do edible dice, like marshmallow dice or something.
that's smart, yeah. Yeah, basically the game was kind of silly. It was just like there's all these different probability tokens. Like there's a spinner, there's dominoes, there's a dice. And you basically just challenge your friends. Like if you roll a 6, you have to take a drink. So like in the book, Morgan's buddy challenges him. If you roll a 7, 5 times in a row, I get to kick you in the nuts.
Right.
I mean, when you read the book, you'll see, like, you know, I just get right into it. Like, it really isn't that important that you understand the game. All you gotta understand is Morgan's in a pretty shitty situation, and he's gotta get out of it somehow.
Correct, and he sure does. And that just brings this great story forward where the organs are almost playing a gambling game later, and I'm just, I love how important it is to them. The stakes that are, like, meaningless to us are so real to them. I loved every little bit of the storytelling in there.
Yeah, thank you. And like, for me, when I write these stories, like, I really do try to put myself, like, in that world. Like, if I was living in this body, I'd be so bored. Like, you're doing the same thing day in and day out. So you can imagine, like, the moment any sort of possible entertainment comes about, they're going to choose that over, you know, doing what's best for the guy to live inside. And that kind of all goes back to, like, this central idea I have that the series is called Morgan's Organs. It's not called the organs of Morgan. So, you know, there could very well be a day that the organs say, screw this body, I quit, and they walk out into a different body or experience a different world.
Oh, wow. You're blowing my mind with that. Which of the organs is your favorite character?
Oh, man, it's really tough to say. Like, every single character is so different in my mind. Like, I can really wrap my head around their personality. The brain is the main guy, so he's so easy for me to write. his sort of mannerisms and his worldview.
Sure, he's a good storyteller for sure.
Yeah, yeah, he knows how to really dramatize everything. I love Meats as well. You know, that sort of dumb sort of way of talking. Andy's obviously so much fun, like coming up with these really long, detailed dialogues. I unfortunately don't get to write them enough because I got to be careful in overdoing it.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, like it's just like everyone's so much fun to write just because they're so real in my mind.
I would say Andy is my favorite, but I would say one of my favorite moments you did by far was the heart. Him just trying to just be himself and follow his heart for lack of a better terminology, but like the whole thing that happens on the elevator with him just trying to make things good, but then Pepe, of course, screws that up. I loved it. I loved just the way certain characters taking control of the body can truly affect it, and the heart just seems so lovable.
Yeah, he really is. He's got this super sensitive side. But, like, he's also just, like, so loyal and caring towards everyone. He's the only one that deserves to get out alive.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to plug before I let you go? Why don't you tell everybody about the Kickstarter more specific? And what do you want all my listeners to go do? What do you want them to do?
Okay, so I hope everyone will check out the Kickstarter. It's on for another 8 days. The short link, the quick way to get there, is type in ks.morgansorgans.com. Otherwise, you can just search the name Morgan's Organs on Kickstarter. I understand, you know, not everyone can back, but if you could even back for a single dollar, it really is every single backer that will help us grow that narrative about being a successful series, which should hopefully one day take us to the next level.
I wish you the best, sir. I really enjoyed these books. I was super happy reading them. I got to chuckle out loud, which does not happen. I'm a huge asshole. I don't always laugh. So I had a good time, and I wish you the best. I hope you have a great, successful Kickstarter. Are you guys funded yet? Are you close? What are we at right now as of recording?
Yeah, so we are actually funded. We got funded in 6 days, which is awesome.
That's very good.
We've already hit our first stretch goal, which is also fantastic. So my main focus now is I would just love to beat my previous campaign for number of backers. So we got 9 days to go, and I'm trying to get about 50 more backers.
I did notice you do shout out a lot of your backers on the actual physical media of the comic, and yeah. I love the growth from issue 1 to 2. I really enjoyed that so many people came aboard, and hopefully I can send some more people your way.
Yes, that'd be fantastic.
I know I'll back you. I'll at least give you a dollar. I'll give you something. I gotta look
awesome.
at the bills and make sure the wife isn't paying attention. So, but I appreciate you sitting down with me. I appreciate you talking comics, talking the business. You're welcome back anytime you want. And
yeah, hopefully once book 3 is ready or once it's done and you've read it, we can connect again.
Absolutely. I had such a blast reading these. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Tim.
Before I let you fully go, where can they find you? Where do they hunt you down on social media?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. For Twitter, Instagram, our tag is morgsorgs_comic. And on Facebook, just search Morgan's Organs.
Awesome. Thank you so much, sir, and the best of luck in the future.
Thank you.